Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's script, The Great Outcry, written by Sigmund Miller, commemorates this season of Hanukkah, a holiday in celebration of the struggle for liberation by the Maccabees. At the end of the program, we'll present a greeting by Dr. Yitzhak Ben-Tzvi, president of the Jewish National Council in Israel, who has just come on a special mission to the United States.
My name is Birza, daughter of Joshua, and wife to the hero Eliezer, sister-in-law to the heroes Judah, Simon, Johanan, and Jonathan. I live to see my father-in-law and his five sons pull a downtrodden people back onto its feet and make it young again. I come to tell you of that Hasmonean family whose name will be remembered by all free people everywhere and through all of time. My family, the Maccabees. When that foolish and evil king of Syria, Antiochus, began his persecution of the Jews, Mattathias, my father-in-law, and his five sons and their families fled from Jerusalem to a small town called Modena. King Antiochus hated Judaism so intensely that he ordered all worship of our Lord God be cruelly suppressed, and those who disobeyed this order to be put to death and their homes destroyed. Henceforth, the worship of Jupiter was to be the law of the land. Our temple was defiled, and the streets of Jerusalem echoed to the cries of those who were murdered. Mattathias seemed, as I imagined, the figure of Moses of old. Tall. He towered over all men, and powerful, with proud, sharp eyes, bronze skin, and white beard. He was over 70 when Apelles, an emissary of Antiochus, came to our little town of Modena and set up an altar to Jupiter. He assembled all the people in town in the village square, and he spoke to us.
Here before you is the true and visible god Jupiter. Now, I know how hard it is to change from one form of worship to another, and I, Apelles, am a lenient man. Let but one of you step forward and sacrifice this suckling pig to Jupiter, and I will acquit you all of this duty. Let the best of you step forward. I call upon you, Mattathias.
You mistake me, Apelles. I am no worshipper of Jupiter.
Do you hate the god Jupiter?
No, I do not hate this statue. How can one hate a piece of stone? I can only despise you, Apelles, who would force me to worship a lifeless piece of stone.
I am a lenient man. And again, I speak to you without anger or force. See, I withhold my soldiers from you. Now, be sensible. You need only do as I say, and you can be ruler in this land. Merely follow my instructions. I am a lenient man. You need not make the sacrifice. Just bow down before the statue of Jupiter while I make the sacrifice.
I am an old man. My knees do not know how to bend before pagan images.
I have here a sack of gold. Do as I say, it is yours.
I want none of your gold.
Perhaps your sons. Perhaps they will accept this sack of gold.
Pray, let me ask them for you. Judah, Simon, Eliezer, Johann, and Jonathan, do you want this gold?
Perhaps they cannot speak.
They have spoken very eloquently, apparently.
Well, then we shall get someone else. But you and your son stay here, and we shall have a reckoning over your disobedience. Who of you will step forward and make this offering to placate Jupiter, the god? Who will step forward and receive this bounty from his gracious majesty, King Antiochus, the emperor of Syria? Then we have a sensible man in Modena who knows how to get along in this world. Come you here.
Give me the knife, Apelles.
Renegade!
Jupiter is the god of the world.
Well spoken. Here is the knife.
And here is another knife.
Son,
these heathen are an abomination on our land. They will destroy all freedom of spirit. They will forbid us to worship God. Judah, Simon, Eliezer, we must drive them out.
Mattathias and his son smote the apostate, and Apelles and many of the soldiers. I can still see Judah, the mild and gentle Judah. He was like a lion among sheep. And his brothers, including my husband Eliezer, fought with such daring and valor that the people of Modena were inspired to turn against the Syrians with their bare hands. And soon it was over. The figure of Jupiter lay sprawled on his side. The body of Apelles, dead by Judah's sword, lay limp upon the statue.
Those of you who are zealous for God, those of you eager for law and liberty, follow me.
We fled to the mountains of Ephraim. We were a small but hard core of revolt. Israel no longer lay prostrate, quivering at each kick of the tyrant. Israel was now girding its loins to cleanse its defilement from the land.
My countrymen, we must never delude each other. Within the coming months, we face hard battle, hazardous times, and death. Yet for some strange reason, history has chosen us to fight for freedom. We must now fight to survive. Some of us will survive, but all of us will win.
Are you going out tonight, Eliezer?
Yes, Eliezer. I must.
Where are you going?
We're going to raid El Chanon.
But that's a big city.
So it is. We're going to attack it with all our force. But my sweet kid, do not worry. For we are well prepared.
You... Will there be a lot of Syrians in El Chanon?
For their mercenaries. They will flee at the sight of us. We shall not be in great danger.
How many are there?
About 4,000.
How many of us will attack them?
About 3,000.
We will be outnumbered.
Oh, dear wife. They need only see my father and my brother Judah riding down upon them to send them running with fear.
Mattathias is ill.
Yes. Yes, he is. But he has said to us that while he is alive, he will lead in battle.
You won't take any unnecessary risk.
No.
I mean, you will not do reckless, foolish things. Risk your life without point.
Yes. I am a soldier not looking for glory, but for the freedom of my native land. I would like to be here when our child is born. And so, my dear, sweet Pearson, I will try to keep myself alive for us all.
Thou art all fair, my beloved. There is no blemish in me.
Dear wife, I will be back as I have before. Henceforth, there will be no more partings every time I leave for battle. I shall steal out without notice. But since you have noticed me tonight, come, embrace me, wish me well.
Fire to all statues of the great god!
Blaze!
city of Elkanon, no statue of the Greek gods remained standing. But greatest of all was the firebrand of hope that Mattathias and his sons carried with them, kindling bright fires wherever they went. But this was Mattathias' last raid. He was ill when he went on this raid. And now he lay dying in his tent.
We're all here, Father.
Judah, I appoint you in my stead to carry on this fight for our people. Eliezer, Simon, Joanne, and Jonathan, you will counsel him and help him. Children, I am most proud of you.
Father, please lie down.
Judah, I charge you to drive the Syrians from our land. You are the hammer of God. Like a hammer, you have two functions. You can destroy and you can repair. Strike the enemy until he's destroyed. And repair our land and our hopes and our temple. Strike, Judah, and keep striking. And then build. And keep building.
And that is how dear Judah got his name of Maccabeus. Judah the hammer. Paul is our father, and the mightiest of us all. Yet he was gentle, mild and soft-spoken, and thoughtful. But in battle he was the fiercest of all the warriors. And although he was the greatest of soldiers, he hated warfare. But as he told us often, at this time there is no other course left open to us. Our family and all the people rallied around Judah, for we all loved him, and he was our champion. And now we were grown. We were no longer an irregular band of rebels, but an army. In a fierce and sudden attack, Judah boldly fell upon two Syrian armies, one at a time, and drove them off. Our people rejoiced. But Judah held his joy in check, for he knew that King Antiochus would rise in great fury.
Send me General Lysias. Tell him to make haste, or I will hasten his life.
Most illustrious king, supreme emperor of the east, all-powerful ruler of the rivers and the sea, beloved of Jupiter. I came as soon as I received your order.
Have you heard of Apollonius, of her own? Have you heard what happened to them?
Yes, your majesty.
How can this happen to me? I have the greatest armies in the world. How can a bandit leader like this, Judah Maccabeus, destroy two armies? Tell me, Lysias.
Well, your majesty, they were not our best soldiers. And this Judah has fanned his followers into fanatic resistance.
I want Judah Maccabeus captured and brought before me. The entire land of Judea and Israel is to be destroyed. All the inhabitants are to be either put to the sword or sold into slavery. We will repopulate the land with foreigners from Africa.
Of course, your majesty will not include those Hebrews who are devoted to you, who worship Jupiter and who spy for us.
Slay them all. I've had enough of them. When I am through, there will not be a single Jew in all the land of Israel.
We will need a large army, your majesty.
I order you to recapture the land of Israel. There are no expense in this campaign. I want you to overwhelm them. Crush them with foot soldiers, cavalry, and elephants. Leave no soldier alive on the field. Assemble your armies and annihilate the Israelites. Set the land afire and let no stone stand on the other. Kill them without pity.
Lysias assembled a mighty army of 40,000 soldiers and 8,000 of his best cavalry and elephants. And he placed this army under his best general, Gorgias. Gorgias did not worry much about our small army of 6,000. He was so sure that he even brought a large band of slave traders with him to dispose of all the captured Jews. The army of Gorgias moved into Israel. They burned and pillaged cities and towns and slowly made their way towards us.
Judah,
What is it, Brother Eliezer?
The Syrian army has reached Bet Kiron.
They're moving very slowly.
Slowly? To me, they move very rapidly.
Yeah, that is because you don't want them to move. Any motion they make inside our land is painful to you.
Judah,
In fact, they're really moving quite slowly.
Are we going to stand and fight?
We must.
But, Judah, they outnumber us 8-1. They have cavalry and elephants.
Horses frighten more easily than men. And elephants are not invincible.
Still, we are outnumbered 8-1. And besides, these soldiers are the flower of King Antiochus' army. They are the best equipped soldiers.
Not better equipped than we. We're superbly equipped. For we fight with a fiery wrath of indignation. What are those soldiers fighting for? They fight for booty. No soldier will give up his life for booty.
Then you plan to stand and fight.
Yes, Eliezer.
Judah, we stand together. And where I stand, no Syrian will pass while I live.
I know, Eliezer. God love you as I do.
What is it, Tirza?
You are not asleep.
No. No, I cannot.
I'm afraid, Eliezer.
I know, Tirza. So are we all. The fear is not cowardice. Fear is awareness of danger. I am also afraid.
How can we beat them? There are so many of them.
Oh,
you will die tomorrow, I know it.
Tirza.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't think. You won't die tomorrow.
You won't.
Promise me
that. I promise.
I'm a weakling. I would keep you from fighting. It can only make you timid by my tears.
Yes, boy. The tears glistening in your eyes make you more beautiful than ever. And so, you inspire me to fight all the harder. For we fight not to win a battle, but we fight for our wives and our children. You must help me with this resolve. By good cheer and unshakable faith in me and our cause.
I have such faith in you, in Judah, in all your brothers, in our small army. I know we will win.
Oh, then, my beloved, kiss me.
Good night, my love.
Be well, dear.
Mid-afternoon before Judah assembled his army and their family. Sitting tall and magnificent on his black and restless horse, flanked by his brothers, Judah, great Judah, spoke to us.
My countrymen, my brave and beloved brothers, before we go into battle, we must make sure of every man. Those of you who are newly married, according to our law, need not go into battle. Those of you who have built a new house or who have planted a new vineyard or who have large families, you may leave the ranks without shame. My countrymen, war is hideous and all decent men shrink from it. Yet we must fight. But before we fight that battle, we must fight the one that rages inside each one of us. We must conquer the black army of hopelessness, terror, indecision, and panic. Why do we not escape and save our lives? There is yet time. We can still safeguard our lives if we run away. But where shall we run? Shall we run away from protecting our wives and families? Shall we run away from this beloved earth, made fertile with the blood of our forefathers? And shall we run away from the fact that our Lord, God, has made us free and dignified human beings instead of unwitting beasts? If we run away now, we will be forever driven from place to place. No, we must stay here and fight. If needs be, we will perish. But here we are. Here is our home. Here is our place in the world. And here we stay. These soldiers of Antiochus are like ravens. A loud noise can put to flight a flock of ravens. We shall be that loud noise. We are the loud noise. We are the loud cry of humanity. I charge you, men of Israel, to turn upon these evil men and crush them. I charge each of you to fight with the fury of 10. I charge you by our God and by our law to drive these marauders forever from this free soil. I charge you to win this battle. Fighting men of Israel.
Judah and his men marched rapidly towards Emmaus, where Gorgias and the Syrian army were encamped. But Gorgias was already marching towards us in three columns to converge on us and destroy us. Judah marched behind the main column and in the darkness of night struck at them from the rear like a cloudburst. Before Gorgias could properly turn his forces around, Judah and his men were in their midst fighting with the wildest fury.
They're trying to rally.
They must be stopped.
I think Gorgias sits on the elephant yonder. If we cut the beast down, then...
His army would be demoralized.
Can you hold this spot? I will go.
No, 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 Judah. I'll do it. I know how to handle these beasts.
Syrians broke before the Maccabean army. And as morning came, there was no live Syrian on the field of battle. We rested until the second column came upon the field to converge on us. They were demoralized at the scene. Those who could fled, the others were cut down. The third enemy column arrived, and fright seized them too, and they fled back to Syria. And as the sun rose towards noon, there was no invader to be seen. We were alone in our own land. Judah. Judah, where is Eliezer? Where is my husband?
He is dead.
Did you see him die?
Yes, Tirza. We weep together. Victory does not come cheap. But because of my dear brother and a thousand more dear companions like him, we have freed this land. Because of Eliezer, we will again kindle the lamp in the temple. Because of Eliezer and only because of men like him, our land is clean again.
And then Judah bade me dry my tears. For we were going back to Jerusalem. And that now we must struggle for peace even harder than we fought in war. And then he quoted to me from the prophet Jeremiah. Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Jeremiah was a prophet of truth. We and our children are come again to Jerusalem.
Now we take pleasure in presenting Dr. Marcia Davis, Dean of the Teachers Institute of the Seminary and editor of The Eternal Light, who will introduce Dr. Ben Svee. Dr. Davis.
It is a pleasure and a privilege to introduce Dr. Yitzhak Ben Svee, scholar, publicist, leader, statesman, and co-founder of the Histadrut HaOvdim, the Jewish Workers' Federation of Israel. Ben Svee has served since 1931, as president and executive member of the Va'ad Le'umi of Israel, the organization which has played so crucial a role in preparing the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael for the emergence of the new republic. Dr. Ben Svi is a member of the present Provisional Council of the Government of Israel. Dr. Ben Svi will speak to you in Hebrew, the official and spoken language of Israel. Upon the completion of his message, I shall read an English translation. Dr. Ben Svi.
Mimedinat Yisrael, hatzira ba'umot, asher kama litchiyah, umehistadrut ha'ovdim haklalit, heveti alechem bnei Amerika, eretz ha'chofesh va'demokratiyah ha'vatika, ubeyehud alechem aheinu bnei Yisrael, ברכת שלום ואמת. אנו פנינו לשלום, Shalom lakarov velarachok. Anu paneinu levinyan, ulehatzalat nidahei Israel. Ulam hamilchama terem nigmera, vasakana terem chalafa. V'chiyadaber ani shalom, heima lamilchama. Anachnu yitzlachnu lehashiv laoyev milchama shara. וכמו בימי החשמונאים הוראינו נפלאות, עמדנו מועטים נגד רבים, חלשים בפני חזקים, עמדנו וגם יכולנו להם. בעזרת צור ישראל וגואלו, בגבורת בני היישוב וצבא ישראל האמית, הצלחנו להתגבר על איבנו העולה עלינו במספרו ובכוחו. אנחנו תמכנו יתידותינו בעבודה יוצרת, ברעיון החופש ובקרוני הדמוקרטיה, במשטר הצדק החברתי והמשפט, ברעיונות שפעמו גם בלב מייסדי מדינתכם, אתם, הרפובליקה הגדולה של ארצות הברית. ואנו מאמינים בניצחון סופי של הרעיונות הנעלים, להם הטיפו נביאינו, נביאי האמת, רעיונות שהם נר לרגלינו תמיד. ושלום על ישראל, ועל כל אומות העולם שוחרות החופש והשוויון בין כל בני אדם עלי אדמות.
The following is a translation of Dr. Ben-Tzvi's message. I bring to the American people, and particularly to my fellow Jews, to all the sons of this great land of freedom and democracy, greetings of peace and truth from the youngest nation in the world, the reestablished state of Israel. Our desire is peace. Peace with those near and far. We look towards the rehabilitation of the scattered remnants of the children of Israel. But the struggle is not yet over, and the danger has not yet passed. As the psalmist says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Yet we succeeded in repelling the invader. As in the days of the Maccabees, the Almighty performed miracles. You withstood many. The weak succeeded against the strong. With the help of the Lord, the Rock of Israel, and our Redeemer, and with the heroism and self-sacrifice of our people and our courageous forces, we succeeded in vanquishing our foes who are stronger in numbers. Our foundations are firmly set upon a base of creative work, upon the ideals of freedom and democracy, upon an order of truth, and social justice, upon those ideals which animated the hearts of the great builders of your own country, the Republic of the United States. We affirm our belief in the final victory of the ideals of the prophets of truth, ideals which enlighten our way. May peace rest upon Israel, upon all peoples who pursue righteousness and justice, and upon all mankind.
Thank you, Dr. Ben-Tzvi and Dr. Davis. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Great Outcry, was written by Sigmund Miller. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Judah was Alexander Scorby, and Joan Loring was Tirza. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.